Tonight, we are celebrating the winners of the International Five Word Poetry Competition, and we have first, second, and third place, and also we have the shortlist poets, and then people in the room or on Zoom who contributed to the anthology, you're also welcome to read a poem tonight. So, sorry, Paul, do we have Peter Arvin? Or...
He is there. I don't know if he's able to read. He's not really see him there.
Okay. So in third place, we have Peter Arvin Manos. And he has been published in the New York Times, the Yellow Chair Review, Unoya Review, Modern Poetry Quarterly Review, Abstract Mag TV, and in TAB, the Journal of Poetry and Poetics, and elsewhere. Peter has completed two poetry chapbooks, Walt Whitman's Wolves and Myriads, which together are part of his unpublished book in progress titled The Real Dirt. Peter works as an industry analyst and strategy consultant in the areas concerning sustainability, wind and solar power, energy efficiency and electric smart grid developments. So well done for coming third in the International Five Word Poetry Competition, Peter. And he doesn't seem to be. So we're going to watch a little video.
No, we're not. We listen to an audio file.
We're going to listen to an audio file. Let's go.
Look at that thing here on Zoom.
Our governments are not rudderless, but rather have pablum or greenbacks or quids or quid pro quos as the syntax of the riffraff running the stuff they do. And running us ragged on either side of the pond, from the centuries-old blunders or blunderbusses of colonists with their flintlocks to today's automated AR-15 bump stocks, efficiently killing, and with quick cleanups, the epitome of our numbness nowadays rather than resiliency. As emergency workers and even some school kids now have battlefield-styled bleeding kits to better respond to mass shootings before the blood of victims comes crusty. As hunkered victims die in clusters of mass shootings, events which cluster together in increasing frequency, and we've no time to blink between one and the next as gun lobby pundits muster new buzzwords, hovering ready for another one, like buzzards.
Thank you, Peter, and very well done. And I hope your daughter is doing okay there. Peter would have been reading that, but his daughter had to go to hospital. Nothing too serious, I don't think. So that's why we're listening to recording. It was a great recording, so thank you so much. So in second place, we have in the room David W. Evans. So David was born in Newcastle upon Tyne and lives in St. Martin, Jersey. He won the Alan Jones Prize in 2019 and 2021 and was shortlisted in the 2020 and 2021 O'Vale Five Words competition. I know you're second. Just a good example of perseverance, lads. He has been highly recommended in Acumen in 2020 competition and also in Sigora 2021, Storytown, Corsham 2022, and Shepton Mallet Snowdrop Festival Competition 2022. His poems have appeared in various anthologies and publications, including Frogmore Papers, One Hand Clapping, Proverse, Acumen, The Honest Ulsterman, Best New British and Irish Poets 2019 to 2021, and Epoch, A3 Review, Madrigal, and Drake. So warm welcome, please, for David W. Evans.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll do my best to make an ass of myself, as you offered. Just take a moment to thank Paul and also Mr. Riordan for choosing the poem. And I suppose you all know something about the Emperor Nero, yes? That crazy Julio-Claudian. In this case, it's his early days, so a handy headline might be, Teenager Inherits Empire, Mother Co-Regent, What Could Go Possibly Wrong? It's a coming-of-age story that even Hollywood couldn't put a spin on. So there's a couple of references which may be handy for me to explain. A lacrimatory, do you know what that is?
Tearful.
Yes, it's a vial that the Romans used to collect their tears. Mad things that they were. And also there's a reference to a yacht. Now, one of the assassination attempts that Nero attempted on his mother, Agrippina the Younger, was to create a boat that collapsed in on itself. But Mammy managed to actually swim ashore. So here we go. Finding Nero, the five words were wool, ripe, top, drop, carve. Finding Nero. How can lads worry about their looks or universal loveliness once your mammy says you outwomen women and emasculate men? Says you outrival all living and all the dead in Livy's histories and well beyond, starting with Saturn at the crack of time when chaos was toppled, quashed, to make a fitting world for me to rule. A mirror of Phoenician bronze blazes out a similar truth, reflecting back perfection mixed with god dust. Divinity burgeoning, I reckon, and not like that twat cousin either. I'm not mad. Others see it anyway. Carved in the stars, a senator told me. Swear it. A philosopher sought, said he didn't see the point until he felt it, drip by drop, if you get me. I'm Hercules come home and wear a lion pelt to prove it. That fits me like the purple. The audience ripened to my illusion. They're big on myths, these punters. I would say worshippers, but modesty becomes the becoming godly. I can play mortals too, honestly. Humble roles, Adonis in his happy times, or pool-eyed Narcissus. I do him bored, recumbent, prone to greet a visitor. Forgetting muscle for a minute, I'm bound to mention artistic talents. The shows, the stage, I write, compose, belong in every genre. Indulge the critics' tears. I wade tit deep in five-star reviews weekly. Crack the stoics' dried-out wrists into pyres of mad applause. Ecstatic! The bald bastards rave nightly over dinner, coining plaudits at every banquet. It's what I do. Have them standing for hours. Applause, applause. I lock doors on enjoyment. A true poet ignores entreaties of more. Encore, encore. Wary of surfeit, I forgive without forgetting a flagging clap, the petering out. Those little pitters piss me off. Smear my joyous day with shit. Mammy's changing. Yesterday, she picked apart my finest elegy to date. A fine conceit. The stone of Sisyphus speaks, debates the roll down Tartarus Hill, mentions Delphi, adores what I've done with the Colosseum, especially the statue of me. And all, for all that, Mammy turns, full-faced, and calls it woolly Greek. I spent one full hour composing it to lyre parts. The meter seemed to fit. So mad I could hardly speak when, before a senatorial host, I swear I heard her whisper, doggerel, or words close to that effect. One day she'll die. One day she'll die and I shall fill to brimful a lacrimatory bucket-sized, a trough. Meantime, I will say, watch your diet, mammy mine. I need you with me yet. Remember Uncle Claudius and his mushroom fest? I will pare away her powers. Pluck them idly, one by one, like scented petals showered over dear Pompeia. Nothing can sweeten the lemon-sharp pucker of a mother's disapproval except, of course, her utter removal from this, my earth. By what harm? Poison, sword, or the veiled gift of a yacht? Oh, heavy my heart at the thought of her dying. It's fatiguing to think of the oodles of odes I must write to her memory. Mammy mine, mammy mine. There's another short couple that goes with the idea of tyranny, and there's a lot of them about, sadly, these days. This is Tyranny in the Workplace, and it's called Lone Star. It's a day to sit by a lake and apricate, hire a boat, cluster ducks with bread crusts, slake thirst, meditate on whose round it is to travel barward. Instead, I'm stuck in a room lit like Russian winter, where opinions fall thick as snow. The boss, as some would call him, conducts on foot. The staff, as he would see them, are seated, surrendering up ideas to keep his bonus obese and genius borrowed. She speaks, good sense. A sudden rebuttal of the big man's vision that, round here, is something of a heresy. He sees her, slips his tongue between his lips, tastes her sounds, frowns, then frees a sneer, shunting her to silence. Resignation beads in the corner of her eye. Thus he breaks their confidence. Legacy employees, I've heard him say, the women he didn't hire and won't promote. Me? I'm done with rescues. I disengage and watch summer waste through windows, a cat blinking in the sun. And finally, so it's the tyranny of good intention. This was actually sort of a 5-word poem a while back. An Acumen happily took it a couple of issues ago. It's called Of Ruined Novels, and I think we might have all suffered this, or if not, sort of, I apologise. Of Ruined Novels. I stole it. If not returning, counts as thieving. Mostly unread, except for paragraphs declaimed in class and then camped up or croaked for laughs. I barely scraped a pass. And here it is, not a joy forever, more of an albatross, bound in trippy wallpaper. Microscript obscenities surf psychedelic scrolls. Margins filled, scrawled with names. The long drifted, no faces. Secondhand crushes initialed and hearted. The obligatory cock and balls. I suppose the compulsion to read the whole would someday seize me like Stockholm Syndrome. Journey through chapter 1 to page 3 million, pausing only to collect my pension and order up a grave. No magnetic pull paid call to finish what was little started. Miriam still on the swing, snorting sweet pollen from fleshy flowers. Freud's in the wings, directing crap tossed at mothers. The author was English, as popular though dead. Popular if still in print means widely read. Or widely read as set text go. Try it again. No, I don't think so. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David, and well done on coming second. Well done, that was great reading. And so for first prize, all the way from Zoom, we have Marcella Remond. She read in our 5-word challenge there a minute ago. And she is actually hailing from South Dakota.
Yeah, not too far away, I suppose, but far enough.
She taught at the University of South Dakota, where she also served as faculty advisor to the VLP, the University Student Creative Writing Organization. Her poems have appeared in numerous journals. Her chapbook, The Sea is My Ugly Twin, was published by Finishing Line Press in 2018, and her first full-length collection, The Book of a Crooked Prayer, was published by Finishing Line in 2020. Her recent completed unpublished manuscript, The Sin Ladder, is based on Ireland's Magdalen Laundries. Marcella and her husband enjoy small-town living in their multi-generational, multi-species household. And I am going to look at the screen now. Rab, watch this, Rab. Look. And you might see here, thank you, Marcella, for having your prize there beside you. This was made by Michael Ray, who often supports O'Bail. He's a very, very fine artist and a very fine poet too, indeed. And he makes all of the prizes each year, and they're always unique and stunning. So it looks great beside you, Marcella. Well done. Well done. Yeah, congratulations. And please read some poetry for us now. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to try this. Diagwit, agas gormagat. And I'm sure that's with a South Dakota accent. But thank you to Paul and to O'Bale and to Maurice for choosing this poem, which after David's poem is going to sound like a haiku, I got to say. This poem is called Caught, and the five words, I have them somewhere here. The five words were trace, steal, bluebell, forget, and year. And the poem really is a response to the pandemic. As I'm sure everyone knows, we've been through lockdown, no lockdown, lockdown, no lockdown. And also a response to US politics, which are, the best I can say is that they're very fractious. And so the poem really is about the idea that we keep boxing ourselves in as human beings more and more. So caught. It's best to forget. Forget the way the bruise blue spreads under your skin, like seeping seawater, like a cluster of bluebells wilting in late afternoon. Forget each day's constant clanging, the news, death counts, digging in behind new enemy lines, friends turned strangers, their mouths full of burnt slogans. Forget that fear was let go from its cage, how it stalks you, fanged, gone feral, how it steals small children. Forget pleasantries, kindness, long embraces. Forget nostalgia, always biting at your heels. Forget all traces of the time before. In fact, it's best to forget the whole year, decades even, today. Forget the constant unraveling of the beautiful sticky webs we've spent our lives spinning, and in which we've only caught ourselves, having long forgotten how to bite through the silk. Thank you very much. This next poem was shortlisted, which really, I still can't believe it. I am currently the sole caretaker for my mother, who is at the end of her life and lives with me. And I am learning so much about my mother, but also about myself and my capacity to endure. So this is a poem about that experience, and it's called Bathing Mother. The first time I bathed Mother, after the cancer's heat carved the great mountain of her, one I could never approach, into a rutted hill of loose flesh and jutting bone, I noticed for the first time the odd angle of one rib, where some minute fracture, falling against the bedpost, leaning too hard into a kitchen chair, or breathing, had dented an otherwise smooth arc. I trace the rib with a soapy hand, gently wash her back. This new land. There, behind her knee, a scar like a ragged star. Below her disappearing breasts, a curtain of skin where cancer has eaten the muscle and fat. The discoveries of this moment, my mother soaked and naked, small, afraid to look me in the eyes, was something beyond intimacy. It was mystery unveiling itself. It was a gasp without sound, her final unspoken question for me, one I will never be able to answer. And then I just want to read one more poem. And this is from my book, The Book of Crooked Prayer. And it's really just to lighten the mood. And this poem is called, She is Never Enough. I don't know if where you live, they have potluck dinners, but in South Dakota, we have a lot of potluck dinners, which means everybody gets together for dinner and brings a dish to share, to pass. So this is a poem I wrote originally about potluck dinners. She is never enough. She is a testament, a monument to the comforts of her kitchen, to bad meds, faulty joints, too much breast milk or not enough, to corn and soybeans, long still winters, to slow metabolisms, abusive fathers, friendless childhoods, romantic betrayals, media conspiracies, patronage, to wild gene pools where breaded pan-fried fish swim in currents of heavy cream. Oh, the potlucks where her breasts, those banners of bulk, announce her arrival. Where, even as she reaches the table with a Velveeta and tater tot masterpiece, parts of her are still arriving. Oh, her thighs, their friction, sparking brush fires in the grass. She, a walking, delicious backyard barbecue. Oh, her footsteps or dancing, tribal rhythms that beat our hearts for us. Let us celebrate the plenty of her, the enfolding, the enveloping, the subduing of glass sharp angles and uncomfortable jutting ribs, the quashing of size two. Let us give thanks for the cornucopia of her, overflowing abundance and radiance, her body in constant undulating motion, her beauty too splendid, too generous to fill only one cup. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Marcella. That was a stunning reading. You truly are a winner. And thank you for reminding me about the judge, who I didn't mention yet. Morris really didn't judge the competition, and I think it's fair to say he probably didn't have a very easy job, because all of you are really so well read and written. I'm going to read now Morris Reardon's appraisal of your poem, Marcella. So I'm just going to read that now. And the appraisals of all the winning poets are in here. So if anybody wants to look at those after. First place, Caught by Marcella Remond. Arriving at the winning order has more to do with taste than objective judgment, a matter of what seduces the eye and the ear more than what satisfies a set of criteria. And on another day, one suspects, or in a different mood, other poems might take one's fancy. But Caught, I found irresistible on many readings. It is a beautifully achieved poem. It has a toned perfection, both of voice and stanzaic muscle. The repetitive use of the imperative provides an efficient little engine to propel the poem through our world of danger and damage, resonating at times with perennial fears, elsewhere suggesting recent circumstances. And then, almost unnoticed, forget mutates into forgotten. How smart is that? Never, I suspect, has silk, that last word, been used in the context of such forlorn constraint.
Now that's poetry.
Well, yeah, that's Mara Spearden. So yeah, wow, first, second, and third, amazing. Well done, everybody. And now we're going to have some of the shortlisted poets read, and most of them are on Zoom, and we have two in the room. Zoom in the room. Okie dokie. We start off with Peter Langdon, please, on Zoom. Thank you.
Okay. It was such a surprise and such a delight to be shortlisted. It's the first time I've been shortlisted in any competition, so I'm really chuffed about that. So thank you very much to everyone that was involved and to the judges for selecting it. This is called Stream. If I can find it, I'll get you the five words were stream, queue, cherry, brim and self. And I really am not sure where the inspiration for this came from. It just, I guess it's summed up by the last line, which I'll get to in a moment. Stream. I was thinking that this could be something about ducks. They might be beside a stream. Mother Mallard with a stream of ducklings taking their turn, a well-established routine of order to drop from the grassy black bank with a slight plop into the stream, their invisible duckling feet, supercharged, turbocharged, invisible movement, keeping them stationary against the downstream current, or perhaps a music cue of the sort sorted, seemingly at random by the Spotify algorithm. Other players are also available. Playing five little ducks of white, of black and yellow, on a stream lined with cherry trees, once a year brightening its passage, a celebration of spring in frosted icing. Or earlier in the year, would locators, January, Japan, February, Fuji, its slopes rising, old below new, built, still building around its brimstone heart. Magnificent in its passive, not dormant self-isolation, steeped in self-aggrandizement of Shinto influencer in self-promotion, live streaming for the social climbers, now finding themselves immortalized, swimming in a stream of consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Well done for being shortlisted.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, and thank you. Next up, can we have Cindy Botha? I'm probably saying that wrong. Oh, Cindy can't make it, sorry. Next up, we'll have our five-word chat, Rosemary Norman.
Hello, this is... I'll tell you what the five words were. It was slow, space, electric, fine, and crow. And birds kept on cropping up in the five words, and I wanted to get round this one, not make it too birdy. So I decided for some reason to Google crow's feet, and all this stuff came up. You wouldn't believe the stuff that was on crow's feet. So, and this is called Lines from the Lateral Canthus, which you can tell from the poem is this bit. Lines from the lateral canthus of the human eye are called crow's feet already by the 1300s and are known besides as witches' feet, not because witches are old, but because she'd keep foot of crone to cast death spells, as if death didn't come readily without her curse. It came in the terrain of forests and deep valleys in Vietnam, marked Crowsfoot, full of tight spaces for ambush. And enemies of a popular symbol of peace gave the name to that, though there's nothing in it of ragged talon, and it spared no one a slow aging. Battle fine lines if you must, with fillers, Botox, peels, and laser resurfacing. And yet, studies have found a smile rated more authentic with crow's feet than with none, and the face itself more intelligent, more pleasing. Ask a witch. She won't hear of electric remedies for eventual death, and our notion of chemical ones for flaws left by the habit of laughter is what wrinkles up her grin.
Because we're all worth it, lads. We're all worth it, for sure. Thank you so much, Rosemary. I love that. And next up, we'll have Laura Thays, please.
Oh, sorry. That's my dog. She's also here. My words were date, stitch, remember, bright, and earth. I made it very birdy. It's called Sleep Lessons from Birds. One. There are dates in the year when the nights are so bright even owls become larks. Two. Remember, the kindness of sleep is winged but claw-footed. Sleep looks like an eagle-sized nightjar poised to swoop down where it spots you. Three. In a nest, on a tree branch, a rooftop, a trunk hole, mid-river, or down in the earth. Choose wisely. Four. Dream of the sky. Dream of yourself as one stitch in a murmuration. Five. Close your grip. Let the tendons in your talons tighten as you perch, and you won't worry about falling. Six. Watch out for the moths. They steal tears while you sleep. Don't let them drink from your eyes. Seven. If you ask the swifts, you should sleep on the wing once you are high enough to glide.
Thank you, Laura, and well done for being shortlisted also. And next up, can we please have Kyle Vaughan, please?
Hello, everyone. I think that was a particularly good week because my words are also date, stitch, remember, bright, and earth. And the poem that I wrote is called The Complete History of the Lyric. On this date, in some century, someone discovered a door, or confessed their love, or looked through a telescope. Light burst through a galaxy. Everything was light, and then the disappearance of the moth, silence as wild as the edges of strawberry leaves. I gave up my voice until the hem of her skirt lost its first stitch, unraveled into a green river. How long? How long the journey of desire? It is dust without patience. It is. On this day, you pronounced my name. I dug bright purple ore from the earth, forgot my grief in the year of your eyes. The day it snowed, the whole countryside sang it. The earth remembered it, that landscape that ends at you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle. And now we will go to the final shortlisted poet in the room, Owen Hegarty. Make yourself known. Maybe he's not here. He's not here.
Okay. Okay, so well, well done, all of you shortlisted poets. Brilliant, I think it's fair to say. Morris Raven had a really tough job, but he did a good one. So now it's up to people who have poems in the anthology, people in the room and people on the Zoom. If you're on the Zoom, you might like to put anthology or just ant and your name into the chat. And anybody in the room would like to come up and read their poem from the anthology?
Is it only other people's poetry night, or is it
just for the open mic?
For the open mic, it's other people's poetry, but you can read your poem from the anthology if you wish. Perfect, Sue. Thank you.
Right, can't see anyone, but at least I can see the lines here. I'm going to read the one that I'm most surprised about that's in the book. So it's the third one that I have. In the book there, and like I said, I'm surprised that it was chosen, and it's also the most sore one, so I'm just going to read it. Gone. The scent of you wakes memories, my love, my girl. Now silent and estranged. I drown my missing you in dancing alone, escaping, busifying myself with poetry not mine. Direct my love to my wilder friend, new little tiger purring, cat keeps me sweet. And when you write an angry email cutting, I cough and scoff at your young contempt and tame my hurt. Lick my wounded heart while waiting patiently until you evolve to return, because forgiveness is the nature of motherhood. And the words were cough, friend, escape, memories, and cat.
Thank you, Sue. Great, we do have a few for the Zoom. Jeff Cottrell, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. So this one I did pretty recently, January 10th this year, and I called it The Truffle Kerfuffle. There was a great kerfuffle over a Spanish truffle. The incorrigible monks were even worse than the drunks. They said that truffle eaters were all sinners, especially when they downed them after dinners. One said it wasn't Spanish, it was Grecian, the only flavor worse than the Phoenician. Another said it was divinely sensuous to eat a Spanish truffle with your mistress. But while these arguers went on with their fray, I stole the Spanish truffle and slipped away and ate it while it was in my power. It was all right, parts of it a bit sour. That was The Truffle Kerfuffle. It's on page 53, and the words were Grecian, sensuous, incorrigible, kerfuffle, and monk. And I have a novel that's available for sale. It looks like this. It's called Hate Story. Look it up. Thanks. I'm Jeff.
Well done, Jeff. What was the name of that novel again?
Hate Story.
Yes.
Oh, good stuff.
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and pretty much all the internet booksellers.
Barnes & Noble, forget Amazon. Barnes & Noble.
There you go.
Yeah. So now we'll go back to the room. Anybody? Okay, great. Thanks.
So mine was a winner back in August, and the words were release, beer can, intimacy, hoe, and tofu. The naked mind, blonder brow, Dutch gold, Karpacki. The wind chime tinkle of glass bottles, sunsets trickling through my body. The hollow clang of beer cans, dim morning lights spilling through. I turn my back on Biggie Smalls who shot ya. Now I'm a sober hoe, popping bottles of kombucha. Waking every day to scrambled tofu and bacon, released into uncharted lands of intimacy, and only with this naked mind.
Thank you, Jim. Awesome. Definitely a winner. Next up, can we have Pam Campbell on Zoom, please?
All right, my words came from November 2021, and it was cough, friend, escape, memories, and cat. And the title is Perhaps. Coughs, silky soft torty cat into dank darkness of junkyard rabble. Tail switches like windshield wipers left to right again and again. Formidable lines drawn between enemy and friend. Clawful clatter, snarls, and growls escape battle-torn body's rage. Torty bends, half-bit ear, and body made wiser by life on the lam. Memories stir of gentle touch and care. Possibility, sings Torty. Silky, soft possibility, song of hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. And back to the room. Great stuff, Cedric.
So this one is from Brendan. Sorry, I'm going to scorch that one.
Read your own?
Sorry?
I'm going to read your own.
No, I'm going for this one. I like this one. Brendan Mulcahy. I like this reaction. That was a poem written for the 5-word challenge on the 14th of June 2021. The words were cat, baldacon, constricted, curtain, and floral. Just because you're clueless, don't mean you ain't gonna get crowned. Inherited, baldacon, the day worlded. Inherited, the throne. Succeeded floral Leviathan's top 5. Brim Jim curtain missing out again after that catatonic incident. Constricted in a nutshell, the Danish prince also fell by the wayside. The rest we know. Baldies, Baldans, and the Baldwins is silence.
Thank you, Cedric. And now we'll have Augustina on Zoom, please.
I'm really enjoying this face painting shenanigans. Anyway, I'm reading the one that was the winner on the 14th of June, 2021. And the words were cat, baldacquin, constricted, curtain, and floral. The inspiration was actually our neighborhood cat, who I called Gary. He passed away 2 weeks ago, I found out, yeah. And I found out on the week that the anthology actually arrived, so it was quite like, whoa, Gary, here, bye. Anyway, so this is called All Four Paws in All Four Doors. Four Paws in Four Doors. I didn't choose the street life. The street life chose me. Having free things fills me with glee. Actually, why would I ever have one when I can have many? Spoilt rotten I am. I get what I can and then some. House number 5 has a lady who calls me Cat. House number 3 calls me Mr. Black. House number 11 calls me Peter. And the house with the baldacquin and the sequin curtains thinks I'm a girl. See, life is good. Let me tell you why I could never settle down. I will live my youth forever because I have options. I got choices. All of them wrapped around my little paw, giving in to the sound of my purr, purr, purr. Meow! Sardines for breakfast. Meow! Dried for lunch. Meow! That wet powder of the chicken for dinner. My own designated floral cushion in a warm room where I don't feel constricted. Handy on them rainy days. Easy peasy, scratch on the door, bump my head on the window, nudge with my paws. Yes, master, what is your desire? Yes, master, do you want a rub? Yes, master, have you eaten? Yes, master, it's cold out, stay inside. Yes, master, here's a snack. Yes, master, have some water. Yes, master, I noticed you don't like the Tesco value pouches. I went to the butcher's just for you. Why on earth would I settle down when I can have all four paws in all four doors?
Meow. So back to the room. Well done, Augustina. Fantastic. And back to the room.
Kiran?
Oh, lovely. Huh? No?
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
There's a
corner. You
know,
you've got lots of.
Oh, sweet.
Then we'll go back to the Zoom and we'll have a break, I suppose. You have one as well, do you, Max? Come on, jump to solo while Kiran is deciding.
Baldacoon, the Usha was going to do the Baldacoon one. So I'll just do just the John D. King of Flatcar. Lusty cries of a soggy ragamuffin guy, stranded in the rain. Oh, it's all right for you. You have your sherry oak cast waned, while I sip a tin of Eastern bitter. All blue collar like a Philadelphia lawyer, all fired up on your uppers and downers. Your fancy trilby hat. Bet you think you're at Ascot, but you don't look jaunty to me. You're more like the jaunty king of the Jervies, the sulky king of the sulkies. Phony alley cats, the lot of you. Impoverished am I, but I have a clear view of the sky. My pen from the IB is free. My ink from my drink link mine flows for free. I've got my memories, they're rich and free. Sing it, the best things in life are free. Empty pockets, eyes full of stars. I'll hoof it off and you'll pay off the loan in your fancy Yankee flat car.
Nice one, Max. Thank you. And now we will go to Zoom and we'll have Catherine Baden, please.
It's Baden. But that's a valiant try. I'm going to read the one I won, whatever, first prize for in five words, and it's short. And the five words are rain, oak, lust, ragamuffin, and bitter. The ragamuffin. This may start out sounding a lovely story, but it really isn't. The rain came down gently on the oak tree beneath which huddled a teeny tiny ragamuffin. Everything about him was small, from his teeny tiny hands to his teeny tiny head to his teeny tiny widget of a dicklet. Oh, what a sad and sorry ragamuffin. It was almost St. Patty's Day, and he had no one to love him of the same size. You see, he had been trapped under a spell of bitter, unfulfilled lust brought down upon him by an equally tiny leprechaun who, just like the ragamuffin, had teeny tiny grudges.
Thank you, Catherine. Well done. I remember that was only a couple of weeks ago. That was at the last open, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well done. So, Kiran, have you chosen one?
This one was by Matt Mooney on the 14th of February 2022. And five words were love, rocking, scorn, edge, and cynic. On a school day, not yet the 60s, rock and roll reared its head. on the town's fair green between the stone-walled courthouse and the blue of Lochray Lake. A band of reveling gypsies were rocking around the clock before 1,000 teenage thoughts thrown airborne and caught again in a smashing, thrashing dance just in. And we couldn't wait to emulate to every electrifying Elvis number that enchanted our love lives then. Sent in a spin by blue suede shoes that took us to the limit of our aching, lust for life and living to the edge of all that seemed safe and solid as an old time waltz in a village hall. Gone, gone, gone. Are you going to San Francisco? Carried on up by flower power in the summer air that rocked the cynics on the sideline into liberation, silencing their scorn. Thank you.
Fair play, and I will go back to Zoom with Martin Brown.
Hi again. A very short one. This was from August, and the words were release, beer can, intimacy, ho, and tofu. And I think even the very day that this was done, we had one of our wonderful politicians suggesting that they should bring in chain gangs for offenders. So with that in mind, I came up with this. Chopping tofu with a blunted hoe is no fair task for high-vis man. I beg release so I can go to seek intimacy with a full beer can.
Thank you, Martin. And just we're aware that Catherine Ronan, Massimo, and Michelle Delay, that you all have poems in the anthology. Catherine, we'll have you next, if that's all right.
That's great, yeah. Hi, everyone. Great evening, as usual. I won the five-word challenge, and I'm very proud to say, with the poem called My Christmas Party 2021. The words were devil, carry, wrinkles, love, and Christmas. My Christmas Party 2021. The day bristles with Christmas cheer. The red day of San Nicholas draws near. Devil of queues, if you tarry. Laden in the rain with too many paper bags to carry. I've been there. COVID is shit, but masks hide wrinkles. Fair tale of New York, always worth the tinkle. Santa comes just once a year to those that live beyond the Lee. But we have the man himself here, our very own Paul Casey. Now I send my love to all in this room and to all my new friends on Zoom.
Thank you, Catherine. Do we have anybody else in the room with a poem in the book? Cahal?
Hey, guys. This one is from the 13th of September. I had to check. It wasn't Friday. It's called Lessons from the Heart. Glow, rugged, obstreperous, skill, and float. The skill is to float on the surface, until the depth arises, like a worm on a hook, like an ancient, a rishi on a pillow, Brigitte Bardot in a cocktail glass, a thinker in a drunk tank, a drunkard in a think tank, a pharaoh in a honey trance. The skill is to float on the surface until the depth arises. Rugged mind is obstreperous. She must remember how to glow.
Thank you, Pavel.
So anybody else from Zoom? No? Okay. Anybody else in the room? Roisin? Brilliant.
Yeah, I was winner, but I think I was joint winner with Massimo. I think he was the Zoom winner, and I was the person in place winner on the 8th of November, 2021. And the words were cough, friend, escape, memories, and cat. There's lots of cats.
Yes, yeah.
The cat girl. The cat girl escapes the aviary at night, picks the locks with fire engine nails, sips in the memories left out by all the strays. Lonely chip bags cough up ketchup. It smears the potholed streets like a disease. She licks her tail long with a sandpaper tongue, feigning indifference. All she ever wanted was a friend.
I'm glad you decided to get up, Roisin. Thanks for sharing that. Wow. Anybody else in the room or on Zoom? No. Do you know what that means?
No way. Massimo?
Massimo! Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. Forgive me for not being prepared, but thank you for inviting me to read as well. This is from October 11th, 2021, and which was also a hybrid event. Chaos, autumnal, yellow, hybrid, and battery were the five words. And so it goes, I am not just this or that, just black or just white, just flesh or just spirit. I am a hybrid. My body of energy is not just a battery. It's also a conductor, making anything conducive to experience. The possibilities are so endless, you would think that everything would be chaos. But for some reason, we have clocks, we have clothes, we have language, and find a strange paradoxical luxury in being human. That we can enjoy the unpredictability and the vastness of what we do not know through the safe medium of unbelievably dependable controls. That's the only reason that I can attend an autumnal poetry event in a country all the way across the world, in the middle of a galaxy where the sun is so hot that it turns us yellow from a million miles away. All right, peace and thank you.